Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We haven't talked a whole lot of boxing this week on the show. We had a lot of buildup for the Canelo Chavez Jr. fight last week. Today, we're going to talk some boxing. We're going to talk fight game in general tomorrow as well. So gear up for some combat sports. Right now, joining us on the mic, we have featured guest Calvin Miller from the Chronicles podcast. Now, Calvin does join us from time to time to talk some boxing. However, it's been a little while, Calvin, so it's great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been a while. Good to hear from everybody again, and it's a pleasure to be back on.
Yeah, I love talking boxing with you, definitely. And, Calvin, we're going to dive right into it. Look, I said this last week on the show, and I'm always an advocate for boxing. So I never want to take away enthusiasm from a fight, yet at the same time, I have to be realistic. Owe it to the listeners to be realistic. Chavez and Canelo was a horrible mismatch on paper, and I'm actually shocked that Chavez lasted 12 rounds. I felt that Canelo could have got him out at any given time. Now, with that being said, this was a great plan, right, by Oscar De La Hoya. He took a big name in Chavez Jr., tagged him with Canelo, who is the cash cow of boxing at the moment. You put it on Cinco de Mayo weekend, and you use that as a buildup for Triple G. I mean, this was a brilliantly planned event from Golden Boy Promotions, right?
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. You know, I got to give a little bit of credit to Chavez because, you know, I had predicted a TKO, and I think that Canelo would have gotten the TKO if Chavez wouldn't have magically got some wheels under his feet.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those deals where I thought the fight would end with Canelo walking uphill, and I know he's slow walking uphill, but delivering an uppercut to end the fight. That's kind of how I predicted this to end. Didn't happen. Chavez was good enough in regard to keep himself out of danger. But all in all, Calvin, in this fight, and I think what I take away most of it, Chavez is better than a C-plus opponent. Okay, I'm not a huge Chavez Jr. fan, but he is better than a C-plus opponent. I think on display was Canelo really showcasing what he can do in the ring.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, you know, and the crazy part about it is, you know, we haven't even seen the full extent of what Canelo could do. I was watching the fight, and when I watched the fight, it seemed to me like Canelo could have did a lot more, but he was just showcasing his ability, and, you know, it was times where, you know, he gave Chavez a different look. He'd give him footwork. He'd give him head movement. He even sat on the ropes a few times and gave Chavez an opportunity and then backed him up off the ropes with a jab. So Canelo was really showcasing a lot of talent, and I think people are going to really see the talent when he fights Triple G.
I agree with you. There were a couple of times you mentioned it. He leans up against the ropes. He's inviting Chavez to come over and bring the fight to him, and going into it, the only opportunity I gave Chavez to ever initiate some damage on Canelo would be on the ropes. Even at that, Canelo defensively was very, very good in this fight. And I hate to always bring up Floyd Mayweather when we talk boxing, but look, Canelo got a boxing lesson when he went toe-to-toe with Mayweather about 3 years ago. I think it was on display in this fight with Chavez, and it's one of the reasons why I'm going to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt going up against Triple G. I think he learned a lot in that fight. I think he's well-balanced. Now I think he also knows how to perform under the bright lights at a different level. That one loss on Canelo's record is the reason why I give him the edge against Triple G.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree, and I'll do one better than that also. I'll credit Floyd Mayweather, and I'll credit Arislandi Lara as well. Mm-hmm. I think he learned a lot from Lara as well in their fight, even though he kind of squeaked by with the decision. You know, I think he looked at those two fights and said, hey, I need to change it up a little bit more head movement, you know, be more accurate with the punching and the footwork.
He was outboxed by Lara, so I'm glad you brought that fight up as well. That was a fight where, honestly, when I was done, I had Lara winning on the scorecard. But with all this being said, one of the overlooked aspects, I think, of this pay-per-view card was the fact that David Lemieux was on the undercard. In my mind, that is one of the most recognizable victories on Triple G's resume. I mean, Triple G gets a lot of credit for his knockout ability, his exciting style. He's very pleasing to the casual fan, but if you look at his resume, there's a lot left to be desired there, and really, the lone win that stands out to me it's against David Lemieux in the way that he went about getting that victory. Now, the fact that you add Lemieux to the undercard of a Canelo fight, it was all perfectly designed. Lemieux didn't all look that great, though, however, on Saturday night, Kelvin.
No, he didn't. I mean, I think he's still in that bubble of trying to get a lot of the casual fans to know who he is. I mean, he's kind of hard to market. I mean, you know, he's a decent fighter. He's not really a great fighter, but he's not a bad fighter either. And, you know, nowadays it's about personality and can you sell tickets. And I think he needs to somehow get over that hump and promote himself better.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. He had an opportunity on the Canelo undercard, and unfortunately, he couldn't finish off Reyes. Again, joining us right now, we have Calvin Miller of the Chronicles podcast joining us to talk some boxing. So now we have the biggest fight in boxing that could be made right now, logistically speaking. Canelo and Triple G. Between now and September, what are you most looking forward to from a promotion standpoint going into this fight, Calvin?
You know, the funny thing about it is, you know, the 24/7 should be decent. You know, they've already had the first press conference, and they did the big pro wrestling entrance at the end of Canelo's fight for Triple G. I really don't think they really need to promote this fight. I think the fight speaks for itself.
Right.
You know, Canelo versus Triple G.
Yeah, I think it's going to be similar, not numbers-wise. It's not going to do Mayweather-Pacquiao numbers. It's not going to. However, it's going to be more pleasing to the casual French fan that likes action. I don't think this fight goes 12 rounds.
No, it's not going to go 12 rounds. I think Canelo's going to stop Triple G, and I think a lot of people are going to be shocked. You know, I posted on social media, I said it's going to be a lot of drop jaws and sad faces when Canelo stops Triple G, and all the blueprint is there. Kell Brook gave the blueprint, then Danny Jacobs gave the blueprint, so it's there.
And we can't forget that Amir Khan, when you go back and you look at what Amir Khan did with Canelo, he actually gave a couple of decent rounds too, right?
Yes, he did. He did give a couple of decent rounds, but, you know, Khan, you know, is... People can say bad things about Amir Khan, but Amir Khan is a good boxer. And, you know, he put that on display while he could until Canelo overwhelmed him, you know, with the power.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this match. I mean, all in all, I think we have definitely the biggest match that boxing could bring. But with that being said, there's a couple of other big bouts. One that's not necessarily gaining a lot of publicity, and it's somewhat shocking. And maybe I want your opinion as to why the public hasn't rallied around the idea of Ward and Kovalev Part 2. Now, everybody wanted this fight right out of the gate. And here with Andre Ward, you have a guy who, in my mind, he hasn't been marketed well in the country. He's an undefeated American. He has accomplished everything that you could possibly accomplish in the sport of boxing, and yet there's just not a lot of fanfare around Andre Ward. It's kind of sad. I'm really looking forward to this Kovalev fight.
I am too. You know, it's this rematch, in my opinion, it's all on Kovalev. Kovalev is going to have to do more this time. You know, when I first saw the fight, you know, I had a couple of drinks, but I actually had Kovalev winning. But rewatching the fight, I had Andre Ward winning. And, you know, now a lot of the excuses have came out of the Kovalev camp that, you know, he got, you know, he was spent after round six and, you know, this and that and the third. And, you know, Kovalev's going to have to bring it. He's going to have to bring something more than what he brought the first fight, or Andre Ward's going to come in there and probably make it easier than he did the first fight.
It's definitely going to be an interesting fight. Outside of that, we also have Kell Brook stepping back into the ring. He's going to go up against Errol Spence Jr. And I know we're going to talk about Spence later on in the week, but Calvin, I believe he is the future of boxing. I think he's the most exciting. I'm not even going to call him a prospect anymore. It's disrespectful to call him a prospect at this point in time. Tell the casual boxing fans why they should take note of Errol Spence Jr.
Errol Spence, any boxer who's been boxing, you know, in the deep underground sparrings and things of that nature, they know who Errol Spence's name is. His name is no secret if you're a boxer. So him just now coming out and, you know, starting to make his way in the ranks, and especially with this fight against Kell Brook, people are really going to get to see his talent put on display. The kid's got power. He's got speed. He's accurate. He thinks in the ring. I mean, he's got all the talents to be one of the great fighters that's going to be coming up in the welterweight division, and I can't wait to see him fight Kell Brook. That's going to be a great fight.
It's a fantastic fight, and it's premature. I hate to say things like this, but I believe that Errol Spence, when it's all said and done, will be the best fighter of this generation. I think he has that much talent. He's southpaw, he's young, he's fun. You talked about the boxing IQ. He's everything that a French fan would want. That's why I'm telling the casual boxing fans to please pay attention to Errol Spence Jr. You're going to love this kid.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely going to love the kid. And, you know, if he looks good against Kell Brook when he comes out with the victory, you know, it's going to be a hard time getting him in there with those big guys like Thurman. I think they're going to probably try to avoid him. I don't see, you know, a lot of those guys that are going to be willing to get into the ring with, you know, Errol Spence. You might get Sean Porter who'll step up, but Sean will step up to anybody. But, you know, I would like to see Spence against Thurman. I know that'll be a good fight, but I think they know he's trouble.
He is trouble, absolutely. Okay, before we end this, I'm going to go back. We're going to talk about Manny Pacquiao here for a moment. Lucas Matisse returned to the ring this past weekend. It was about 2 years since we've seen Matisse, and I love Matisse. When he lets his hands go, one of the hardest punchers in the division, says he wants a shot at Pacquiao. Pacquiao is going to be stepping back into the ring following a win, don't forget, against Jesse Vargas. That was the last time we've seen Pacquiao, so it's been a while. It was Vargas in Las Vegas. Jeremy Horn is next on deck for Pacquiao. Would Bob Arum dare put him in the ring with a Matisse?
I, you know, at this point in Pacquiao's career, I actually think that Bob Arum would put him in with a Matisse. I think it would be a win-win for Arum to do it because, you know, if Manny Pacquiao isn't going to fight any of the guys outside of, you know, the Thurmans, the Porters, or, you know, he's going to have to go with the Matisse, I'd say. I would have loved to see Pacquiao and Broner, but, you know, with all the stuff going on with Broner and then the negotiations fell apart, I'd say Matisse is the next big name, unless he's going to really sit down and try to get Pacquiao in there with a Thurman, you know, a Porter, any of those names.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. You know, the name that they will continue to avoid, it's Crawford. There's no way they're going to ever put Pacquiao in the ring with Terrence Crawford because that fight doesn't make it to the championship rounds at this stage in Pacquiao's career. Calvin Miller, always fun to get you on the show to talk some boxing. Please let the listeners know where they can find your podcast.
Oh, definitely. It's on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play. You know, just look for it. Chronicles with a Z on the end.
Calvin, great to get you back on. We'll do it again soon.
All righty.
We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.